It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Something new. Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop. Oh, no. That's how rough fighters roll.
Oh, we got some sad news today that DMX passed away, Tyler, at age 50. And I love DMX, man, or at least the, I don't know a ton about him, but the video with the motorcycles and all that.
Raw Fridays, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I love that deep scratch. You know I got respect for a deep, scratchy voice.
Yeah, man, 50,
DMX
huh?
is awesome. Sad deal.
Yep.
I remember Tyson coming out to DMX, and that was like one of the baddest deals I've ever seen. Just watching Tyson walk out into the ring. Gosh, I forget. It might have been this song. I forget what song it was, but I know for sure he used to come out to DMX. And it was that was a powerful deal, watching Tyson come out to this deep, scratchy voice like this, dude.
Well, sad news, 50, man, too young. Way too young.
Did you ever hear him singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I have not, no.
Rich, you got to look it up real quick. It shouldn't take you long, and it is friendly. So it's great, dude. Just listening to him sing it, it's fantastic.
All right, we'll dig that up here and have that for you just in a little bit. Bomb in the ninth, Johnny Cueto pitched an unbelievable game for the Giants, and Trevor Story did get a base hit, and the Rockies did put up a run in the ninth, and it was just enough to take Cueto out with two outs. And who did the Giants put in but our pal Jake McGee? Jake McGee, world champion, Jake McGee, now with the Giants, was lefty on lefty against Hilliard, and Hilliard hit a two-out bomb just the other day to tie up the game and send it into extra innings. Jake McGee comes in, Tyler, 95, strike one, 97, strike two, 97, a strike three, ball game.
Wow.
And the Rockies lose 3-1. Jake McGee was so...
Rockies lose.
Jake McGee was so confoundingly frustrating because you could see this big power he had as a lefty, and just think, this guy's going to be dominant. But it felt like game after game, something terrible would happen when he was pitching for the Rockies. And there you go. There you go. He's on another team, and he just comes in. Like you said, I bet he's going to have a press conference later and just talk about how much he, he loves those Giants fans more than the Rockies fans.
Right, because you're always going to talk about your former team in a more glowing way than you talk about your current team, because that makes sense.
Mount Palumbus speak. If Drew Locke has a 2020 Baker Mayfield-like year, what is your prediction for the Broncos' record, and are they a playoff team? Oh, interesting.
Mount Palumbus speak.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a playoff team for sure. Baker Mayfield last year, I mean, do you know what his stats were? He threw for 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. That's taking care of the ball. You know, when the Browns are not a playoff football team, when Baker Mayfield plays like Drew Locke. When Baker Mayfield in 2019 throws for 22 touchdowns and 21 interceptions. That's not playoff football. That's dang near impossible to win more than half of your games, if that. But if you take care of the rock like that with the defense like we're supposed to have here in Denver, man, for sure you're a playoff team. I mean, you're a 10-win team with that type of touchdown-interception ratio. You know, the completion percentage is the next thing that you look at, and it wasn't that much better than Drew Locke. I mean, Baker completed 62% of his passes, which was okay. That's kind of like bare minimum. That's okay. Drew Locke completed 57.3% of his. Overall, on their career, Baker Mayfield throws for 61.9%. Drew Locke throws for 59.1%. Not a huge difference there in overall completion percentage, but the big difference was last year Drew Locke threw for 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. You can't do it. You can't go to the playoffs doing that. So get rid of the turnovers, and your team's going to have a fighting chance.
Agreed. It's no different than any other quarterback, that's for sure. But those turnovers make a big difference. And you got to see that jump from year two to year three. You are convinced. We see it a little bit differently, but you were absolutely convinced that if Baker Mayfield wasn't working out, they had a good enough team where they would just put Case Keenum in and roll the dice, right? After about five or six games.
Yeah, I think they brought Case Keenum in the offseason to legitimately push Baker Mayfield, and there was a conversation for sure whether Case Keenum was going to be their starting quarterback or not. I mean, heck, at the end of the year, Kevin Stefanski just went to the playoffs for the first time in Lord knows how many years for the Browns, and he refused to commit to Baker Mayfield as his franchise quarterback. They're not committed to Baker. They don't want it. They want better quarterback play than what they're getting. But what Baker did very well last year was take care of the football, and when you take care of the football, you're going to make yourself very difficult to replace.
Well, we'll see how they feel about Baker. You know, none of those, not yet, none of those 2018 quarterbacks have gotten the next deal, but that'll be a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, Baker, in my opinion, Baker Mayfield is at the biggest risk of becoming your next Jared Goff, or becoming your next Carson Wentz, because he's playing good enough football that you probably don't have a choice but to give him the next deal. But it's not good enough football to get you over the top. And then you're going to be frustrated when he's making $150 million and you're stuck in that deal for the next couple of years. So, you know, that's why getting the young quarterback is always preferable.
I request DMX Holiday Classic.
Yes.
So I printed the lyrics of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And would you,
I know the lyrics.
Would you do us the honors of spitting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
Oh, yeah.
And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on! Come on!
Come on!
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you ride my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeers loved him, and they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you go down to history forever, you go down to history forever, you go down to history. What?
It's good, right? It's fantastic.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766. Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hey, quick note, Tyler. There's been some pushback about Chassa changing the rules on season D sports, which are spring sports. Primarily it's baseball, but there's other spring sports out there too. They got spring sport high school athletes really got the short end of the stick last year, which was awful. And they were going to have shortened seasons anyway. And then they were afraid of getting sued. Or some crazy thing. It wasn't even like happening. It was the possibility of it happening. So they were going to reduce the amount of games from like, it went from like 23 baseball games to 18 and then down to 16, which was absolutely ridiculous. Well, there's been some movement today to get that number up to 18 games, which is, I mean, all right. I mean, that's better. But what they're not doing is expanding the playoffs. And that's where they're really falling short. Instead of having 32 teams in the state baseball playoffs, for example, they're going to limit to 16 because that's what happened these other seasons. And I understand that you want equity for everybody, but, man, Tyler, my heart is breaking for these 2021s who lost their 2020 season, and now they're getting shortchanged in 2021. I know some high-level high school baseball kids who are going to play in college think it's so ridiculous they're not even going to play their high school season because of all these rule changes. And if common sense were just to prevail, because you can still make changes right now, you would extend the regular season to as many games you can, and you would also expand the playoffs. And Bert Borgman's a great guy. He's the assistant director of Chassa. I've known Bert for many years. Great dude. And I think you need to let common sense rule for these spring sport athletes that lost so much. And especially when we're so sensitive about what might happen in terms of lawsuits that haven't happened. But the possibility of it exists, so you can't just let common sense prevail. I hope it does, Tyler. I just want to throw it out there real quick, because I did hear that, oh, we might now have 18 games instead of 16. And I would just urge them to even consider that not enough and expand the playoffs from 16 to 32 teams. And you may hear 32 teams, Tyler, and you may feel like that's ridiculous, like that's way too many teams. It's single elimination. It's not that big of a deal. It's one game. And it's hard to be, you know, one of the 32 teams. There's a lot of teams out there, Tyler, that just making the top 32 would be a hell of an accomplishment. For the top schools, it's no big deal. But for schools that just scrambled to try to make it, and now you got to be the top 16, you just wipe out so many athletes and coaches that are just trying their darndest to be one of the top 32. So I just hope that they even reconsider it again and they move forward in a common sense approach. There you go.
Well, boy, I'm not going to try to pretend like I understand any of the complexities of what's going on with this one. That's all I know is things are hard right now for everyone, and I sympathize with people that are trying to figure out the schedules. People are trying to make things fair. It's impossible to make things fair for every sport, for every kid. And, you know, I certainly – I don't know. I don't know anything about this one, so I'll take you at your word on it, I sympathize with everybody right now, for kids, for schedule makers, for everybody's been affected by this, and it's not easy to make it right for anybody.
Yeah, and by the way, this is not just me. In fact, Mark Knudsen wrote a brilliant article about it, and it's been in the Denver Post, and you know it's a lot of other places. So if you're curious about it, the reason why I just bring it up, Tyler, believe it or not, so many times in life you can't make changes, you can't do something. Well, in this particular case, you can. You actually do have the flexibility right now to try to make things at least a little better, if not a lot better. They do have time right now to do that. So I hope they do. Hope they do. All right. No offense, D-Mac, but what player, much less quarterback, wants the role of backup or third string and be happy? And no offense, Tyler. Have no clue how you keep your composure for 4 hours a day, Travis in Phoenix. Well, I'll tell you this.
Well, most of the time I do not, to answer that question. Most of the time I do lose my composure, about 5 or 6 times, maybe 18 per show.
Yeah, well, that's what millennials do. I mean, millennials have those issues.
Right.
Right. And Tyler can certainly speak better than me on this, but let me just give you my perspective. No player worth their salt who's a professional is happy being a backup. You don't get to that level, first of all, being a backup. You're probably the best player in high school, one of the best players in college, and you want to be a starter. I literally don't know any player in the NFL in my 28 years of covering the NFL that was satisfied and happy being a backup. Zero. And if you are, you're probably, I don't even know how you're there if you're happy with that. So that's, I'm trying to answer that question. So it doesn't really matter because there's not one player on the team that's happy being a backup. That's what you got to keep working for. That's why when I would go in a locker room so often, Tyler, it looked like there were so many miserable guys in there because they were bad. More guys are backups than starters, right? And so they have to deal with all that sort of stuff. Your perspective on that?
No, I don't know anybody that ever plays in the league to try to be a backup. I do think that it's easy to fall into a role. Chase Daniels is certainly okay with being a backup. He's
right.
Made $100 million, whatever it's been, being a backup quarterback. I guess I don't really know what this is in regards to be honest. Everybody wants to play football. Everybody wants to be a starter. And, you know, you don't get this far without the competitive itch. And if you didn't have the competitive itch, you wouldn't have made it to the NFL.
I think what it's in reference to is I was talking about roles. Like you would have quarterbacks for certain roles. And
yeah, your quarterback room deal is, That's a deep one. I don't even know how to scratch the surface.
Well,
on
let me put it this way. When Tyrod Taylor was with the Chargers last year and they drafted Justin Herbert, obviously Tyrod Taylor knew his days were numbered, right? He was going to have a certain role at some point, but that didn't mean he didn't try the best he could to be the starter, correct?
Sure.
But at some point, you know, who's Tyrod Taylor to Justin Herbert? I mean, it happens, right?
Again, I don't understand what your point is there, because way different. If Tyrod Taylor is the incumbent starter, you go out and you get the replacement. You go out and get the franchise quarterback. You're not going out and spending an investment on Tyrod Taylor in the same offense, in the same offseason. You're not going out and spending an investment on Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert, and their third string developmental quarterback. No, you, those guys are just there. They're on the roster. So it's not a comparable situation. You need to come up with a situation in which you go out and you get all three of those guys in one offseason, which good luck finding it. I don't know where you're going to ever find a situation like that. And that to me is where it becomes such a gigantic waste. Dude, you can find, especially when you're talking about the Kellen Mons, the fourth rounder that you want to spend, you can find those quarterbacks on the waiver wire every single year, and they're probably much better than any guy you're going to draft in the fourth round. You could find a Brett Rippon, or you could find somebody that's better than Brett Rippon. Just wait until training camp is over and select anybody that gets cut. They're out there. There's Chase Daniels out there. And Tyrod Taylor, he was there preemptively. You didn't go out and try to get him to compete with your new face of the franchise, with the new guy that you're going to draft at number 9 overall. So I don't agree with your comparison there at all.
Well, let me ask it then. Are you against drafting a quarterback 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, period?
No.
All right, so when...
No, I mean, we've been over this one many, many times.
When would you draft one of those guys?
When I've got a stable situation where I've got a quarterback that's going to be here long-term, and when I know that I can draft a guy, I can develop him for 3 or 4 years, and maybe if I get lucky, he'll be somebody that can compete next time I need a new starting quarterback. But I'm not spending any draft picks on developmental quarterbacks when, A, I don't know who my head coach is going to be, B, I don't know who my offensive coordinator is going to be, and C, I don't know who my starting quarterback is going to be, and I know that this guy's not going to be contributing towards that competition of who the starting quarterback's going to be. That's a wasted draft pick in a year in which you need to develop a football team around a new, young starting quarterback, which either way, it's going to be a new, young starting quarterback.
All right.
So that's when I would draft one.
All right, so give me a team right now in the NFL under that theory that it would make sense for them to take a quarterback in the 4th round or 5th round.
Well, the Steelers are definitely a team that fits that category. The Kansas City Chiefs are a team that fit that category. The Baltimore Ravens are a team that fits that category. The Chargers are a team that fits that category. Do you want me to keep going? I could probably come up with 20 teams that fit in that category.
The
teams that do not fit in that category, that's easier. Washington Football Team, Denver Broncos, New England Patriots. Who else is looking for a quarterback right now?
Did Mike Shanahan make a mistake taking RG3?
No,
and Kirk Cousins?
And you know you can't use that one as an example. You know you can't use that one as an example.
All right, I might have been cheating on that one.
Yeah.
Top six coming up next.